Whether it is attached to something about him or just something about life. Mm-hmm. And to bring it all to him, and he will make sense of it. Mm. And I trust him in it. And so we've grown in that trust and devotion for each other through this dynamic. Mm-hmm. And it's completely opened me.
You're listening to The Madeline Moon Show. Today we are speaking with Andrew and Dawn, a married couple of 14 years and devoted partners in a 24/7 dom-sub dynamic for the past 6 years. Through their business, Infinite Devotion, they explore how DS transformed their relationship into a conscious, loving, and honest partnership where a dominant man can lead with strength and an open heart, and a submissive woman can transcend fears and claim her voice as she learns to let go. Welcome to the podcast. It is so exciting to have both of you here. This is actually my first time to have two people together in the studio, and I'm stoked that it's y'all. Welcome.
Well, we're glad to be your first.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're excited to be here.
Yeah. Y'all are fascinating. I am very new to your world and your offerings, but you've kind of been, I've been like trickling around y'all and like what you offer and what you do. And I'm hoping that I can bring some inquiries to y'all's dynamic today that are a bit of like the beginner's mindset to something like this, but also really get into some of the nuances of what this is like in the day-to-day of having a 24/7 dom-sub relationship, which is like, wow, that sounds kind of nice. And also incredibly triggering and challenging to me in this moment. So the first thing I'd love to hear from y'all is just like, how'd you meet? How did the beginnings? What's the genesis?
The very beginning is actually a great story because I hired Dawn to work for me in a business that I used to own 18 years ago now. Mm. And so we knew each other as boss and employee. Mm-hmm. It's like straight out of a romance novel. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I hired her. And we worked together for a couple of years before there were ever any like romantic sparks at all.
What was the moment for you, like the moment, if there was a moment where you were like, oh, I'm into her. I'm interested.
Well, for me, the moment came, there was a happy hour, a work happy hour. And we were having a really good conversation, but somebody that I knew, casual acquaintance, kept kind of just butting in on our conversation because everybody else had left. And it was just the two of us and we were having a fun conversation. And this guy just wouldn't leave us alone. He was drunk and just kind of tapping on his shoulder and like, you want to go somewhere else so we can keep talking? And then we went to a different place and continued the conversation. And that, like, that was kind of the moment where it shifted from what it was to what it was becoming.
Work happy hour. Mm-hmm. And you felt the same kind of in that experience?
Yeah, I actually had a date plan that night that I canceled.
Love that.
And yeah, nothing before that conversation. Mm-hmm. And it's, I wish we could go back and listen because it changed everything.
Mm-hmm. How do you, if you do own that kind of taboo that maybe some people have of like, oh, you used to work together, you were boss. If that's something that y'all have ever faced in your life with people taking that the wrong way? Not really, maybe.
Just don't really care.
Yeah, don't really care. That's the best. That's the best.
Other people can have their opinions, but you know, to live the life we do, we really can't be the kind of people that care that much about what other people think.
I do think there's like a preciousness around that oftentimes. Like my former partner used to be one of my teachers. And so I asked this question just because I've been in that dynamic where people have had assumptions of like, you know, what that means or things being leaky or loose. And you, as y'all said, it's like, it's, well, you didn't say this, but what I'm feeling from y'all is that it's really clean. It's like a clean arrival to a place and a clear knowing, and which has ultimately led to this the kind of relationship style that y'all, you're living your dharma, it seems. Like you're really living your work. So when did you start to then move into the dynamic style that y'all have now? Because I'm imagining that took some time.
Well, that was 10 years later.
How long have y'all been together?
We have been married for coming up on 14 years.
Amazing.
16 years as a couple since like that happy hour.
Yeah.
So we went down the full like spiral of unconscious relationship for a decade of basically just playing out old patterns and not even knowing we were doing it because we didn't even understand what any of like conscious relating was. That wasn't even in our vernacular. It wasn't even something either of us were aware of. Mm-hmm. I started really working on myself and trying to like regain some kind of strength in what I feel like I had lost in that decade, probably 10 years ago now.
Mm.
And really had been working on myself by myself for several years. And then I came to Dawn one night on a happy hour, or I'm sorry, a date night. And I said, I want you to be my submissive.
And I was like, what?
So, no, we've found our way to everything that we've become through that dominant submissive dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
We started to learn what was happening with us. Something bigger was happening in our relationship.
Mm-hmm. What was the experience for you when he brought that forward?
Well, my only experience of that, of dominance and submission, was 50 Shades of Grey, which isn't quite it.
Yeah.
And so when he brought it forth to me, he explained it in a much deeper way. But simply put, it was, I want to lead our relationship and I want you to follow me. And here's the way I'm already doing that. And here's how it's working so well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, okay. And I took almost a month to consider, to ask a lot of questions. And at the end, I just had this knowing inside of me that I couldn't know everything that it was going to bring for me, but I was going to lean into trusting that he knew what he was talking about and he'd figure it out and lead us to a better life together.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what you explained to me. Mm. And I just jumped in with 2 feet.
Mm. What was your vision ultimately? Like, if we step into this dynamic where you get to be my sub and I'm going to be your dom, this will lead to da, da, da. This is the vision I have for us.
Back then, the way that I would have said it was that in the parts of our life where I take charge and you don't, and you just follow me, everything goes so damn smoothly.
Mm.
Mm. Like when I plan a date night and I just tell you, be ready Friday at 5, we're leaving. And we'll be back on Saturday. I've made all the plans. I've put everything together. Wear this. Sometimes not even tell her where we're going, but just come with me.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the best nights, are the best parts of our relationship. And it was like, I want that energy in all of the moments.
Mm.
I want to just do that for you in everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then really, it was a matter of figuring out what that meant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which has taken time. I mean, it's taken time and patience and a lot of deep, really deep exploration of what it even means for, like, for my part of it, what it even means to be a man. What does it mean to lead with kindness and with heart? What does it mean to take control without being controlling?
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to be dominant without being domineering? But to actually, like, just lead her with love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. So can you also explain just this relationship style? Because I kind of just jumped right on in. And I think some people may be like, what does that even mean? What is the manifesto of this relationship? And what is it that y'all are doing on the day-to-day as Dom Sub?
On a day-to-day basis, it really is. It's a leader and follower dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
What it has become is this understanding of polarity. So it was someone responded to a message or to a post we had on Instagram one time that said, oh, I love Dom Sub. It's such a clear polarity practice. And that was the first time I had ever heard of polarity.
Mm.
And I went, huh, That's it. Like, that's what's going on here. So on a day-to-day basis, it is me really being attuned to every single thing that she is feeling, that she's experiencing, encouraging her voice, like, speak up, share everything you feel. Don't filter anything for me. Don't tone anything down. Just, like, give it all to me so that I can have all that information. And then lead us to the best life that I can find for us based on what I can see and what you're feeling. Mm-hmm. And so on a day-to-day basis, it's really like me taking care of her in every possible way, leading her in every possible way, and really trying to see how free can I set her with a container of a relationship where she doesn't ever have to worry about providing for herself, looking out for herself, controlling herself, or certainly not shaping herself in any way into what she thinks I need her to be. But to really just be. That, and on a day-to-day basis, like, what do you feel like? What be that? Just be
free.
That.
Yeah.
What would you add to that?
My fear at the beginning of this that I shared with him was I didn't want to become a doormat. Because there's this connotation with submissive, you know, I came out of religion, organized religion. And so while I didn't ever grow up really feeling women were like less than, there's still this like weak, meek feel that some people associate with that word. And now I didn't really have that, but there was some of that just kind of, I don't know, associated maybe minorly. And he assured me that that would not happen, that I would actually find more of myself. And I have. I'm in connection with what feels like my true self in a way that I didn't even know who I was. I didn't know this was there. And I didn't know that I could experience this level of freedom in the world, in a relationship.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like your leadership is centered on what is going to make you the most free. And that's your part of your compass, is like her full expression, her full freedom, and you being so highly attuned to the nooks and crannies of that.
Have to be.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I mean, this is what I've really learned in my years of polarity and embodied relationship, is like the most beautiful thing to me is just how deeply I must be felt for him to do his job here correctly. Mm-hmm. Is like, he can feel, is the breath full or is it shallow? And like the masculine's own sense of embodiment is informing like what her body is doing and how it's holding back and how it's being open and what's in the field and what's in the space. So what is this not that some people sometimes think it is, right? Like one of the things that pops up for me is permission. Like, do you have to ask for permission for things? That's one question. So I'll just stop there because I'm curious around that one.
I don't even know how to answer that. No, none. I mean, you can play with that, which is fun. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to ask you to lead on how you would explain that.
There's nothing meaningful or important about her life she has to ask me permission to do. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes it is my role to provide containment, to provide structure, to provide guidance. And so at certain times, there have been points where I'm like, before you do that, talk to me so that I can be there for you, help you, see you. Is there something where you're going to go into self-abandonment here where I can protect you from that? So that's where I will deploy, ask me permission, not as a way to limit her, but as a way to contain her, to guide her, and to really help her see herself by seeing her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's not like, what it's not, to answer that little bit bigger question, it's not command and control. Mm-hmm. It's lead and guide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that feels much more spacious. It's very spacious. It's very intuitive. It's felt.
Well, right. And some people think that they see this through the lens of kink.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And dominance and submission in kink can be an extraordinarily sexy way to play with energy. Mm-hmm. It can be an extraordinarily fun thing to do in the bedroom. But if you try to take that, like what works for eroticism and for sexuality, and expand it into how do you live on a Tuesday morning over breakfast, the same things don't work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It has to be bigger. It has to be more spacious.
Yeah.
You have to use some of your language, be artful with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was also curious about, it's like boundaries. I'm curious how boundaries play in y'all's relationship, both like boundaries you have as a couple with the world. Like, how do y'all protect your sacred space? How do you protect your relationship with boundaries with the world? And not caring is one that I heard you say, which I really like. It's definitely my cup of tea. But also like, your energy that you give here and you give here and you give here, particularly you. I'm very interested in, like, having a business requires a lot of focus and a lot of discipline. And being a highly feminine being oftentimes involves a lot of devotion, infinite devotion. So I'm curious how you have worked and navigated the part of you that is like discipline and working on a business and also giving so much of your energy into devotion to your partner and into love itself. Does that question make sense?
Yes. And I will say a little bit. And then once again, I'm going to ask you to take that. To be frank, I don't devote to the business.
Mm.
I show up when he asks me to show up and I reflect my experience. So my devotion is poured into him and myself.
It can't work if she's having to devote herself to the business.
Mm.
Our, like what we do in our business is a reflection of what we live. I tell people all the time, don't just listen to what we do or what we say. Watch what we do. Watch how we live.
Yeah.
You won't see Dawn like writing long posts or doing any of the marketing or
hot. Love it.
Like I wouldn't let her. Mm-hmm. That's not her space. It takes her out of the devotion to this relationship mm-hmm. and to this connection and out of the energy of receptivity.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm. The feminine is receptive first. And so if she's out going with her energy outside of this connection, it's going to take something from this. I do that. She and I do, like we do us. And then I share a part of that. But to the boundaries question, there are big parts of our life we don't share that people don't get access to.
Mm-hmm.
We share specifically around dominance and submission. We talk about how to do that in relationship, how to make the relationship side of that work. We don't tell people how to do the bedroom side of it. We don't let them in, at least to this point, into that part of our lives at all.
Mm-hmm.
So we talk about what we talk about, and then we get lots of questions about the other stuff, and we just say, no, that's ours.
Okay, so moving a little bit more into like what your vision is and how you offer this to the world, like it's very clear you'll have this very embodied. And I also just want to make a reflection, like particularly you as the Dom, all of my work is around the body being the center place for all your dreams and all your desires and anything you're calling in, anything you're creating. And what I'm noticing is with your body in particular, you have the stature and the body of a Dom. Like you're strong, you're grounded as fuck, your voice is very rhythmic and it's deep. And like, I can feel you super present and you're a reflection also of that and your own feminine grace and your own like ease. And I can feel the receptivity. And there are a lot of bodies out there that are not quite like that. Particularly I'm thinking about like the men on their journey to to kinghood. And in that phase where there is a lot of energy in their system and it's not as easy yet to be grounded. And these same beings are questioning, well, is it my responsibility to, you know, take care of her that much? Is it my responsibility to pay that much of the bills? Is it my responsibility, you know, really questioning like their responsibility as a man. And a lot of women are with those men. And I'm curious about that relationship where there isn't a, let's imagine that they have a strong desire to have this kind of embodiment and polarity. And he doesn't have a connection to why the fuck should he care about that. What would you say to him first?
Well, first and foremost, I wouldn't say anything to him until he actually wants it for himself. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because the reason that men are that way is because we are such extraordinarily sensitive beings. Mm. And like this moves me when I talk about it because the ways that men get hurt, boys get hurt, is so deeply, deeply felt in everything we experience in the world today. When I say sensitive, like men are sensitive beings. We can read the energy of a woman through a text message. If I remember like being able to drive into the garage in our house and she would be inside and it's like, I could feel the mood. I could feel like her. And if she was tense or frustrated or happy, like I could feel the mood of the whole house just when I entered the property. Hmm. So I don't say sensitive in an expressive sensitivity. I say sensitive as like a finely tuned scientific instrument, right? Like some scales at the grocery store, you throw a bunch of bananas on there and it'll be like, yeah, it's about 3 pounds. And then some scales will tell you if you have like 1 microgram. And men are like that highly, highly sensitive scale that can sense the differences of energy in his woman especially, but in the whole world around him if he's really tuned into it. And that is the body. But the reason that men aren't comfortable with that is because we get so easily hurt as boys. It's that receptive heart that men have, and all the walls go up around our receptivity and our polarity. So men's receptive polarity is in our heart, and we get very, very, very wounded as boys. And I wouldn't talk to a man about that because he's living in his pain and he's in defense of his pain. And you can't help someone until something is broken through that. But I would encourage a man who wants to break through that to really look at those experiences from his childhood that hurt him and to start bringing curiosity to them. I encourage every man that I work with to do EMDR therapy. It's the best therapy for men. Because you don't have to talk about your feelings. You just reprocess shit. And then you put it away back into the long-term memory rather than being so constantly reactive to it. But yeah, usually something has to break a man before he can even see how the ways that he's showing up is actually wounding and protection.
Is that one thing that you feel most women don't understand fully, is the sensitive power of a man, the sensitivity? Yeah.
Men don't understand it. Women don't understand it. Like, what do you do with emotional energy as a man? If there's one thing that I think that I'm extraordinarily good at, it's understanding this all the way down to the core and being able to relate. How do you actually handle emotions in a relationship in a way that is uplifting, in a way that adds to the sexual polarity? When you handle emotional polarity right, you can get sexual polarity right. They're balancing forces.
Yes, I really love this. I'm even having these like, ooh, that's a different way than how I've thought about it, because working primarily with women, my desire is to help women become resensitized in a world that has taught them to be desensitized. And the way that I've traditionally learned it with men is that their nervous system is quite thicker, you know, just thicker, and women are more sensitive. Not that it is a more and less thing, but I think that that in its own way, that belief and that reflection is not actually supportive and helpful, and that it's more supportive and helpful for us to uphold the nature of all beings being incredibly sensitive and believing in your man's sensitivity.
Sensitive in a different way, though, because we're functional opposites.
Say more.
A woman's receptivity is physical. The sexual organs are the example of physical, physical polarity and sexual polarity, right? The woman is the physical receptive sexual partner. Her receptivity is where she's sensitive. So she's sensitive to physical pain, to the lack of, to a lack of integrity, to a lack of clarity. She's sensitive to different things. And so she builds her walls around those things. A man is sensitive to emotional pain much more. So the sensitivity is equal but different. And it's, the world doesn't do this to us. We do it to ourselves. Doesn't matter. Like, yeah, the world maybe supports things and doesn't support things, but we make our own belief systems out of it. And then we react to those things. Like, we have to be able to take responsibility, both men and women, for ourselves.
Yeah.
And to not blame the world or blame your man or blame your woman or blame anything, but really look at, why do I believe this? What am I believing to be true that's causing me to show up in this way, that's causing me to act this way, that's causing me to feel this way? She doesn't do it to me. I do it to me.
Yeah. Radical self-responsibility. Yeah. Do you believe that it's possible for a woman with her words to support a man in getting to that place? Or must he find it always within himself?
That question.
I was going to say, great question.
Yeah, she's got to use the sword of her heart to never protect him from how she's feeling in response to
it. Yeah, yeah.
She will never soften her way into making her man strong. There's no bigger lie that's told to women than, well, just be nicer to him, be kinder to him, be softer with him, and give him space to grow in. Like, no. If he's hurting you with the way he's showing up, call him out. Never, ever. Like, I tell her, do not shape your emotional expression because of what you think I'm going to feel about it. Let it out.
And I do. And I have.
Because that's the truth. I just heard this quote this morning. I'm probably going to butcher the actual quote, but it's Nietzsche that said, if you want to know the strength of a man, see how much truth he can handle.
That's so good.
The way she's feeling is true to her. So how much of that can I handle? I didn't come out of the womb this way. I was not the man that I am now 6 years ago when I asked her to be my submissive. Nowhere close. It's been the fact that she has continued to speak up, and I've continued to ask her to speak up when the way that I'm showing up is not feeling good to her. And then I've made the choice to rise, to hold everything that she can become. Like, how big can her expression be? Be all of you. I've got you. And if I don't, I will grow to be able to have got you.
What's up, my friends? We're going to take a quick pause in the podcast for me to share something so exciting with you. I am releasing a mini course called The Unfuckwithable Artist that is all about liberating your wildest expression, especially in the online space. Liberating to the point that people simply cannot fuck with you. You are unfuckwithable because you make art, baby. So if you're interested in making the online space a space that is full of so much more joy and fun and a place where you actually get to discover more of yourself, you do not want to miss this. This mini course is going to be sent to your email if you register from January 27th to the 29th. And then on the 30th, we're going to have a live community call together. If you happen to listen to this after January 31st, do not worry. It's going to be staying up where you can always register if you go to mattymoon.com/unfuckwithable-u. So once again, this is totally free. So if you want to join us live, make sure you register right now. I'm going to have a link to this in the show notes to this episode. Just click it, sign up your name and email, and then you'll get all the goods starting on January 27th. And then if you're listening to this after the 31st of January 2025, then you're going to have to go to the website and you're going to sign up and you're going to get everything instantly. Instantly. You're not even going to have to wait. It's dope. So my love, go head on over, get your name signed up, and then hopefully I will see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
Is there anything you want to add to this?
Just saying what he's sharing is absolutely true. Mm. I mean, he was the one who helped me understand the need to speak up and to really tune into my own experience and share it without trying to wrap it up in a pretty package, being like, here you go, this is what it means. For me, it's allowing myself to feel the chaos, to be wild, without understanding, whether it is attached to something about him or just something about life, and to bring it all to him and he will make sense of it. And I trust him in it. And so we've grown in that trust and devotion for each other through this dynamic. And it's completely opened me.
Yeah. I have found there has, like, first of all, I love what you're saying so much around this. And there's this book called She by Robert Johnson, I believe his name is. And it's all about mythology. And they use mythology to describe, like, the power of her. And then there is a book called He, and it's using mythology and archetypes for the power of he. Very quick read, very good, deep. And it shares a myth where I think it's Psyche, can use the power of the lantern or the power of the dagger. And in the myth, it brings in both of these elements, and it shows how the woman in relationship is actually the one who is responsible for raising the consciousness of a relationship because she sees so clearly. And it's not her responsibility to do the thing and to lead the thing, but she feels it and she's sensitive to it. And she can either, it's not quite talking about the dagger in the way of like the sword of the heart, which I agree with, but it means a little more like the dagger, like, like the truth, like, or bring a lantern to it, like bring a lantern to the truth and shine a light on the truth with fierceness and clarity and wildness. And but that is her role, is to bring that. And if she's not bringing that, then the relationship is not going to be raising in consciousness. It's going to just be chilling where it's at, even if she's in pain and if she's suffering. And that's a little different from what we hear a lot of the time, also in the polarity world and in certain relationship. I mean, I was pretty fucked up by like some relationship teachings that were all about, you know, always lead with the anguish over the anger, always lead with the pain and the heartache over the cold truths, or always lead. And that kind of, it took me years, you know, and it's still a little bit in my somatic body of wanting to have this specific, not so much anymore, but I would say in the last couple of years, I've worked through this wave of truth, and it's messy, and it's, this is how I feel. And immediately having this response of the practitioner who's like, how do I contort this to package it in the correct way so that it does the thing and then I'm not too much and blah, blah, blah. Which I'm just curious how many people out there are really like, you know, how many women are struggling with that specific thing. And what in relationship? Oh, okay. So for the women who are with men who, let's say, want to be, you know, want to hold her wildness, want to be with her chaos, lacking some of the tools, but on their way, but do have the desire to, is it her responsibility or her job to create a container for her own expression when they're starting out? Like, I've got something I need to express. I've got something I need to say, and I'm going to do it in this way. Like, are you available for it? You know, creating the appointment, leading it, or assuming she's in her heart, can she roll into it? You know, roll into it, or does there always need to be a time and place?
Well, can she roll into it? That's the question for her. Mm-hmm. Or does she feel that need to somehow make sure that it's going to be received? Mm-hmm. Because is setting the container for expression about making sure he can receive it? That's trying to control him. Mm-hmm. Is setting the container for how she and when she can express it, is that her discomfort with what she feels, her disapproval of herself, her lack of acceptance of her own state? So she is trying to pave a nice clear road ahead of her so that when she lays it out there, it's going to smoothly roll from her into him.
Mm-mm. With no waves.
Yeah. Like, this fear of upsetting each other that we do in relationships is how we screw up our relationships. Mm. Because we don't express what we're actually experiencing. Mm-hmm. So, like, sure, but then also be curious with why is it that she needs to somehow package it or wait or not right now or not too much, or what are the beliefs that she's holding about herself that might be causing her to shape that just a little bit or control it just a little bit? Because the end game, dominance and submission led us to polarity, which led us to understanding union, which led us to looking for some kind of explanation of what was going on with us. We've figured this out by living it and then understanding there was language for it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the other way around. And I think people get themselves all kinds of fucked up when they understand the language and understand the concepts, and then they try to squish their actions into the language. Like, no, you got to just get out there and say what needs to be said and feel what you feel and learn how to live wide open in the presence of your partner, even when it terrifies you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's really beautiful. And I'm resonating a lot with, I've been sitting with this inquiry around just like the practitioner in us and like how we go and we learn all these different tools and then we eventually over time become a practitioner of relating. And I've myself had my teacher and his team kind of call that out in me a lot, because I will really try to understand the concepts of what he's saying, you know, like the brow is furrowed. I'm like, okay, but how is this practice in real life? And what does this actually look like? And okay, I did the practice, I did the thing, but nothing happened. So what should have, you know, and there's this whole thing that I wasn't even attuned to that I had. That this year I was really awoken to like, they just would say the same thing as like, you're coming from a practitioner background and that's not going to serve you here, because the space that I'm in is not about being a practitioner. It's like way beyond that. It's like, it's very much what y'all are speaking to. And wow, that really gets ingrained. And I think that can get really ingrained. I'm a woman, so I speak a lot from the woman's perspective, but just like doing it right, being the good girl, getting the programming, and also being safe. This is another thing that I realized, is that women will shape themselves in the presence of particular men of power or stature or perceived masculine embodiment, to be safe. And there's all these cutesy behaviors. There's all this manipulation that will happen in the female body, myself included, that I've tracked this year of like, okay, so like I went into this string shop to get one of my instruments, get a new string. And there was like an older man that was working there. And this is just the first example that's popping in my head. It's happened before multiple times, but I went in to get the string restrung and hi, I'm here to, it's just like my voice like went way up. And then he cracked a joke that wasn't funny. And I'm like, you know, I'm like, what am I doing? Like, this is, that wasn't funny. My voice is much deeper. And I was just tracking these behaviors of me manipulating myself unconsciously to not get his attention. I was not attracted, but to be safe, and just this programming of like, in the presence of a man, this is how I behave. This is what I do. And
did you do the little robot?
This is what I do. Yeah, exactly. Which that would be much more me if I did that.
Maybe you'll remember that next time. Like, yeah. Actually break out into the robot.
Yeah. 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 You know what's interesting too is like he ended up doing all this work on my instrument totally for free. And that is part of the dynamic. It's like I went in, my voice raised, I was cute, I got all the stuff for free. And they were like, it's a pleasure meeting you. And I was like, thanks, bye. And I just tracked that experience of like, oh, this is how I've walked through life. You
just got rewarded for your self-abandonment.
Just got rewarded for my self-abandonment. Exactly. Exactly. And it feels like unconsciously, it's just like, oh, this is the way the world works. So glad I'm a woman, you know? And reality, when I slowed down, I'm like, oh, no, what is that? What is this? Where does this live in my body? And how is it so quick? And tracking my relationships and my romantic partnerships and all the micro moments sexually, energetically, where that little thing, ever so subtle, pops up in a moment of expression or a moment of truth, when when the truth of the expression actually would have been probably much wider. That was narrow because it was through this lens of contortion and programming. And the real expression, this is going to lead to a question. So do you believe that every woman innately has the ability to have wide open expression and that our stuff gets that kinked, whether it's the practitioner stuff or the religious stuff or the upbringing stuff or trauma, that kinks it? But it's always, for every woman, a natural possibility of having wide expression.
I don't take things in absolutes. Mm-hmm. Because the reality is, every woman has to ask herself that question for herself. It's not, this is something that I see a lot of people do, men and women both do it, is look for, well, if I'm like this, is everyone like that? Or if everyone's like that, then I have permission to be like that. Mm-hmm. In reality, of course, everyone can be fully who they are. They can fully express the truth of their own soul. Everyone can do that. But it is by going inward to those inner patterns, to those ego patterns, to those early woundings, all those reasons that we avoid showing up in the truth of who we are and try to shape and try to control. And so it's less like, can every woman be in a full expression, and more like, can you be fully who you are?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think everyone can do that, but it's hard as fuck.
Mm-hmm. I'm just curious to hear more about how your expression has continued to evolve in your relationship and what you offer women, because I love expression. It's just my favorite thing in the world. What you offer women who are not in relationship dynamics quite like this, in regards to bringing their play and their truth and their archetypes and that full range of expression, and what like kinks do you notice oftentimes will come up for them that gets in the way of that?
Well, all I can speak to is my experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned how to be myself more fully inside of this relationship. But it has changed how I show up in every aspect of life. And not being afraid to shape myself or really care about what this person thinks of me, what that person thinks of something I said a while ago. And what he said is really true. The amount of mirror that I've just put on myself and bringing that presence and awareness to my own experience, like what he's provided for me is the space in my life, which allowed me to take the space inside of myself to really be present with what is going on internally inside of me in anything I do or say or how I show up. And so I don't speak from a place of how I can tell other women how to be, except relentlessly seek being all of yourself without fear. Because to me, if I have a fear, it's showing me where I'm keeping myself small. So when I put that lens on every aspect of life, sexually, non-sexually, anything, in relationships with, I have two daughters, in relationship with my parents, friends, you know, whatever, bring all of me without fear. And I continuously find more of myself. And that's what he's always encouraged me to bring. And my life, like what I live, is like, I still feel in awe every day of what life actually is for me. Now.
Yeah. Say that again. You said that the fear is showing you where you're playing small. Every time you feel fear, it's showing you where you're playing small.
Yeah. Every time I have seen a fear, whether it feels big or small, I bring curiosity to it.
Yeah.
And I don't get to force my way through it and make sense of it. It's letting life show me through the little, well, maybe not so little, feelings in your chest of the collapse, of the shrinking, to the moments in my head of, oh my gosh, this brought me back to that something in life. And so when I can let myself be in the fear, recognize it, accept it, that it's there, and I do express it to him, and he brings a different clarity to me that I don't see for myself. And I've always been able to see that it's been a limitation of the true, authentic soul experience I am here to have.
Yeah.
Do you want to speak more to that? Because sometimes I know I don't bring clarity to what I say.
Oh, that's great.
Well, I think this is just what we can offer as men to our women is, can I provide a life where she gets to be safe enough that she can be fearless? And, you know, some of the things that that has meant is, you asked about the business before. She has no responsibilities towards our business. Anything that she does to add is her adding her own reflections. It's to bring, like, to bring some of that feminine chaos, the energy, the fun, the laughter, the reflections of her experience into it. But she has no responsibilities for it. She's provided for completely. She's protected completely. She walks up to a door and she stands there and waits for me to open it. This morning, it was cold outside. I had to lock up the door before I came out to the truck. And I looked over and she's standing there next to the door of the truck waiting for me to open it because she knows that I'm going to come.
That sounds, I mean, I really admire too how much energy is required to hold within yourself when you know you can open your door, you know, you can, and you choose to hold that energy and you choose to wait. And that's also that's such a beautiful act of your devotion to this relationship and this dynamic, is like you're not letting something fall through the cracks in a moment of like dispersing the energy. I'm just going to do this myself. You're having to hold it. And that takes strength. Yeah.
It's one little act of that, you know, in dominance and submission, a lot of people want rituals and how do we do this and how do we create that power exchange? It's something that is so a part of our day that I get to sit there and wait for him to show me his presence and do this thing for me. Mm. And every time I just feel so protected, taken care of, loved, cherished, adored, and I get to express that back to him. And so it's that expression of desire that keeps it fueling out, like it's sexual but non-sexual. Mm-hmm. And it's fun to experience more and more of that in the small ways.
In the early process of y'all forming this and crafting it, or throughout the process of forming and crafting it, were there specific things that arose, like, for example, opening of the door? That's a pretty traditional act of, you know, I would assume that one. But have there been other things in your relationship that maybe, you know, turning off the lights in the bedroom, or like, you know, dressing yourself and like whatever you want to wear, that you discovered along the way that became regular things that you wait for? Does that make sense? Like, I'm just curious if there's other things that are in your relationship that are the you always wait for this specific thing, or you don't do this specific thing yourself. There's the business. There's probably some of those things, but anything that like I wouldn't expect.
Presence is so much of what makes dominance and submission special, when you can really do it from a place of presence. Mm-hmm. And it is the dominant's role to craft the relationship dynamic, to set the relationship up in a way that brings those moments of presence into everyday life. And so one of the things we've done since the very beginning is anytime we sit down to eat together, she waits to take her first bite of food until I've taken my first bite of food. Mm. I crafted that ritual for us as a way to bring presence and attentiveness into the little moments of life. Mm-hmm. Right? It's not like you can't eat until I eat, woman.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, I'm noticing her waiting. I'm noticing her paying attention to me. She's noticing me noticing her. Like we're experiencing each other in presence in that little moment where I notice she's waiting for me. Like when she waits for me to open a door, she is there waiting for me, calling me to step forward into what I've promised to do, to take care of her.
Mm-hmm.
So the waiting to take a bite of food is something we eat almost all of our meals together. So it's a thing that plays out multiple times every day.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. I love that. That's a beautiful answer and surprising. I like that. Have y'all noticed, because you're together a lot, and traditionally, like the more sameness there is, the more polarity goes down. This must keep the polarity alive all the time. And you're together all the time.
That's the point.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You get it.
I get it.
So the thing is, closeness can only kill polarity if you are not artistic with how you are moving that energy between you in those moments. You can depolarize or polarize any moment, but you have to be able to alchemize the energy of emotion and the energy of sex in everything. So you can be together 24/7 and have a relationship that just keeps getting better, hotter, sexier, more intimate, closer, deeper. If you understand how to move this energy and move this eros with each other. And, you know, that's where, you know, we get, especially men, get the emotional polarity side of this all wrong and just completely miss how her emotions. Like my question for any man, I love this question. Is there any energy present in the emotion of a woman?
Hmm.
boatload, tons of energy there. Well, why can't that energy drive the relationship? She's the source of this. Like, she's eternally connected to the chaos of God. Mm-hmm. So tap into that, receive it, let it in. Mm. It's going to challenge everything that you are as a man to allow her to be everything that she is as a woman. Mm-hmm. And if you can let that emotional energy flow freely from her into you, you're tapped into the source. Mm-hmm. But you can't do this alone. You can't do this alone. You need to do this in connection, in partnership, and in a container that feels safe enough to challenge those things, right? Like, I just said this in a post I made the other day, that I've made a promise to Dawn that I will be there for her, to protect her, to provide for her, to look after her, to defend her her right to explore her freedom and authenticity for the rest of my life. Mm. Even if she were to move on from me, I will be there. Mm. Like, that's how safe I need her to be. And that makes me vulnerable as hell, and I know that. Mm. I can only trust. Mm. But letting her be that free and feel that safe and that looked after and that protected and that taken care of has helped to set free her own ability to feel all of those feelings, all that energy of the emotion of a woman that every woman, I believe, is connected to by nature of being a woman. Everything I've had to do to be big enough energetically to hold all of that. Like, that's been my growth as a man. Like, give it all to me. Let me see what it takes to hold it. Mm-hmm. Let me see how strong can I get? Mm. Mm. How much can I take? How much can I handle? Give it to me.
So good. Wow. Yeah. That. As we are coming here to a close, I'm going to listen to this episode multiple times over. Speaking of the body, I am curious. Of course, your relationship is the deepest playground for building the body that can hold this calling and this relationship dharma. I'm curious for both of you if you have another specific practice that's actually supported you in this journey together. And it can be anything, just any kind of like somatic body-based practice that has helped you expand your capacity and deepen your receptivity and feeling and emotion, any way that you work out the body.
I've had a variety of little things that I've done, but it's all secondary to what the relationship can bring. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right? I have to build my capacity to hold what she brings to me. Going over here and doing it by myself really doesn't help me. I've got to stand in the fire and let the fire burn away what isn't right and what isn't helpful and what isn't true. Mm-hmm. So definitely a lot of deep breathing, but like, no, there aren't any like performative practices that I go do on a regular basis. I meditate every morning when I wake up. It's life as the embodiment practice. It's life as the practice. It's living it, not doing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Beautiful answer.
And I would say for me, you know, he mentioned EMDR. I've done EMDR to process a few specific things that surfaced for me that I didn't even know was there. And frankly, I had no idea how wound up my nervous system was. It was just like, no, I'm not an anxious person. I didn't worry. I didn't like whatever. And so at the beginning of this, when I heard the term embodiment, I'm like, oh my gosh, what's that? Mm. How do I do that? And so I was like, well, whatever. I'm just going to keep going and see where this thing takes me. And I would say that the thing that I just continuously got better with was tuning into my emotions. What is my experience right now? What am I feeling in my body? And all I do is bring curiosity to it. Mm-hmm. Be with it, feel it. I've had emotions that just there's a physical movement that needs to happen with them, and I do that. If I need to express them, I do that. I cry a lot, all sorts of emotion. It's natural and a beautiful part of our human experience. And so I don't do anything specific. I don't have any specific rituals. I don't meditate every day. I literally just live and express, feel, and do whatever I want. And that's how I've become the woman I am today, which feels fucking incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So
beautiful. I love that. The non-practitioner in me loves that. The practitioner is like, what's the thing you do with your body? The non-practitioner
feel.
Like, oh, yes.
That's what I do is feel.
Yeah.
Feel the sensation.
Mm-hmm. The emphasis that y'all have on actual life is the work. Like, that's not always common in this particular work in this field. And it's like, I think there's a really good mindset to have in loving the teachings and seeing the teacher oftentimes. And there needs to be more congruency in this world of the teacher is doing the teachings. And I've said often that a lot of what we're learning, including some of my own work, is concept, you know, and it stays as concept. You know, I've really I've done a lot of shifting in my business so that there is no concept and it's all embodied. But particularly when I was like more in the polarity space years ago, I was so godfuck and this really divine union and some like all this stuff is just like saying the same thing on the hamster wheel that everybody was saying. And I was like, you know, the poet in me is speaking right now. It's not actually like the woman who's and the teacher. It's like the poet who like loves the idea of this and loves the idea of this. But I'm not actually like really deeply living that specific thing. And so I had to do a lot of like clean out of like all these concepts that if they're not sticking, they're not mine. They're not in, like, what do I actually do? And that's what I'm focused on. And so like the artfulness and the expression has really taken a forefront and less for me on relationship, particularly some of the concepts that just never landed because they never, it was like, there's a lot of missing gaps that, you know, when we experience missing gaps, I believe for those who are visionaries, like you're here to bring in the filling for that. You're here to find your own way, rather than just regurgitating everything that everybody else is saying. So what are you actually doing? And like craft your messages and your teachings out of that. And the highest vision of that you're consistently striving for. And I love how y'all are so embodied. I could really feel that and see that. Someday I'd love to work with y'all because I'm just like, man, y'all are like really living a relationship style that I'm kind of like internally drooling around. I'm like, this sounds, I mean, it's just, it's beautiful. And the level of self-responsibility, the radical responsibility is present and alive and very apparent. And I'm really grateful that y'all are doing this work and teaching and, you know, bringing it to the masses. So my last question for you, I don't really love the questions that are like, what's the last thing you want to share? What's the They're never clear enough. But I think if you were to offer one specific piece of like encouragement, let's just say encouragement for a couple who is listening to this, it's like, yeah, I really want to have that. What encouragement would you give them for the beginning phase of them leaning into creating a dynamic like this?
That's his department.
Have patience with each other. Mm. Sit down together and do it together. Mm. So much of the problems that people have when they're trying to shift out of the ways that they have been doing things, either separately, individually in their own lives, or together, like we had for 10 years of doing it without any real intentionality to how we were relating. We were just trying to poke around in the dark and find something that worked. When you start bringing intentionality to a relationship, it can get really easy to go, well, you do this and you do that, and I need you to be like this and I need you to be like that. Sit down and do it together. Hmm. Work together. I say sit on the same side of the table, sometimes literally sit down on the same side of a table mm-hmm. together. So you're looking in the same direction and think about and take an approach to everything you're trying to remodel or change or rearrange and how you're going to do relationship together. How can we approach this moving forward in the same direction? So we're on the same team. Mm-hmm. Put all the resentment away. Put it all out on the table if you have to. Lay it out there. Let's look at it.
Mm.
And then go forward together. Like you have to have patience with each other. You've probably spent 20, 30, 40, 50 years learning how to be the way that you are. Mm-hmm. It's not going to shift overnight. It just isn't. You're going to have to unwind the reasons that you are the way that you are, the reasons that you do relationship the way you do it. You're going to have to change the way that you are approaching yourself and how you know yourself in order to be able to relate to someone else differently. See, and you just got to have patience with each other, and it's going to take time and it's going to hurt and all sorts of things are going to have to die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I have something to add, actually. Patience with each other, but so much patience and compassion with yourself. The way that I've been able to know that I'm held by him, but be able to hold myself in whatever pain from my past that has arisen, the way that I can feel that compassion for that inner little girl has transformed my love and acceptance of myself. And that has changed my ability to truly love this man for who he is when I can come into more love and acceptance and compassion of myself.
Yeah, beautiful. Patience, grace, compassion. One of my mottos of last year was grace and course correction. Grace and course correction, just continuously grace, whatever happened, and then course correction. And as long as like that was the pillar for me, I could go through anything that I needed to go through, because I always knew I would just have one little course correction around the bend. Mm-hmm. And it's not the end of the world.
It starts with acceptance. Mm-hmm. You have to accept reality for what it is.
Yeah.
When we meet reality with resistance, we can't do anything.
Yes. Yeah.
Except engage with that resistance. Mm. Well, then what we have to do is not try to change reality. We all go looking for how do we fix the circumstances around us so that we feel better. Mm. But what if we look at why we're so uncomfortable with reality being what it is and change ourselves? Mm-hmm. Because we can get to a point where we can be untriggerable. And that's that is what I really try to lead myself to, and what I try to guide other men to, and what I try to embody in this relationship is we don't have to be triggered. We can get beyond the things that trigger us and live free of those things, so we can just be okay in every moment. Mm. That's possible. That is a realistic desire and approach to life, is to be untriggerable, both men and women. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is the ultimate goal, because then you can really just be with what is and whatever. Like, grace is automatic when you don't resist reality.
Mm. So good. Yeah. Untriggerable. Mm. I love that. It's beautiful. Wow, this has been so amazing. I would love to know what y'all have on deck. If you have anything people can check out or join or look into, where they can connect with you more.
I encourage people to find us on Instagram. We are _infinitedevotion. We have a variety of pre-recorded, like, self-study courses for people to learn these things on their own. We do a couple things throughout the year that are interactive, and we have our podcast Dumb Sub Devotion, where it's just the two of us talking through what it is that we're living and what we're experiencing, and kind of a little look into how we interact with each other that we release every week.
Amazing. We'll have all the links in the show notes to this. Thank you both so much for being here and for coming onto the podcast and sharing your beautiful relationship with us. And again, bringing it to the masses on Instagram and through your work and through your programs and teachings. I am, like, genuinely very excited to take something someday. I think you two are amazing. And I'm just so grateful to have had you on the podcast. So thank y'all.
Glad to be here.
Yeah. Thanks for having us. It's been fun.
Yeah. So fun. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Please come back for another episode in 2 weeks. And if you loved this episode, let us know. Leave a 5-star review on iTunes. That's the currency of iTunes. It lets iTunes know that you liked this show. And we love hearing from you. So let us know what nuggets you received. Follow them on the gram. Check them out. And we will see you for another episode in 2 weeks.